Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hour number two. Got a little Stafford discussion in the mix. A lot of people were upset about his comment yesterday. Just upset that there's just a complete lack of anything there. Asked a very good question by Carlos Monterez about the criticism he's received. And it was more of the same, a collection of ums, and I don't pay attention, and I'm just responsible for the guys in this room, etc. And I don't, it's just not good enough anymore. That is probably my favorite, I have to be honest. It's a quality song by Roberto. By the way, Sully, fun note here for the people. Last night, Thursday Night Football, Derrick Henry went ham. 238 yards and four TDs.
Yeah, that 99-yard run was great.
Well, I think it was probably more about the tackling than about him. That was one of the most pathetic displays of tackling I've ever seen. However, 238 and four TDs last night. The first 13 weeks of the season, Derrick Henry, 474 yards and five TDs. Now, the best part of this. It's just a fun little anecdote. Derrick Henry had been such a non-factor with the Titans. In the playoffs in my fantasy league, the guy with Derrick Henry had him on his bench. And he's in the playoffs.
Well, it's funny you say that because I read last night that about 12,000 people in leagues around the nation dropped him this week.
I know.
So, I mean, just imagine all those people there.
No, you know what it is, though, and it's why I've fallen out of love with fantasy football. Like, great example. I had the best team in our league. I was 11-1. It's the best fantasy team I really ever put together, honestly, in like 20 years of playing. And I wasn't just beating people. I was beating them by 50. I was crushing. Dude, I lost Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, and Jack Doyle in a two-week span the week before the playoffs. You're like, all right, well, cool. My season's over.
Well, I'm mad at myself as well because I looked last night. I'm in the playoffs in one of my leagues. I needed a running back. I looked to see if after the game, if Henry was available. He was. Melvin Gordon's hurt for me and James Conner's hurt for me. So I actually need one, and I didn't go get him, and then he does that.
No, it was funny because I was watching that last night, and I'm going, I know he's rostered. Who has him?
Oh, man.
And I looked, and I knew the guy I was playing
in the playoffs.
I knew the guy I was facing didn't, so I knew I was clear there. And sure enough, the dude on the other side of the bracket has him and didn't play him.
Oh,
ooh-wee.
Man. Woo!
That's like a seven. Yeah, that's a lottery ticket. 238 and four touchdowns.
You won the game already.
That's the guy's season in one night.
Oh,
crazy. Go to Patrick. 90. Oh, actually, hold on. The other thing I wanted to do. I'm sorry, Patrick. I'll get with you in 1 second, buddy. But just as we started hour number two, are you capable of rooting against your team this weekend? If the season ended today, the Lions be picking number five. The Cardinals would be picking number four. Now, after hearing that, are you going to actively root against them in what we are coining the first ever Valeni Show must-lose football game? Getting into the top four offers you something very sexy. And let me tell you what it is. And you'll go, Mike, what's the difference between four and five? Easy. At number four, you'll have the opportunity to get the number one player at four different positions. Now, mind you, we talk about positional needs on this team. Offensive line, because I could see Rick Wagner not being back. So, O-tackle, D-end, D-tackle, corner, right? At the top of this draft, here's what you have. Nick Bosa, number one player, defensive end. Ed Oliver, number two player, defensive tackle. Greedy Williams, number one corner. And then I believe it's Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle, number one offensive lineman. Into the top four, you get one of those guys. This is a must-lose game. The difference between drafting number four and number eight or nine, if you won, is massive.
I think it could even get lower than that.
It could go to 13 if everything went wrong this weekend. And again, my team is killing themselves. My team is killing their chances because the Giants won't stop winning. Because Pat Shurmur and that organization are too proud and they're screwing everything up. And they're not going to have a quarterback succession plan because they're not going to be able to get one of the top guys. Trust me on this. Sunday, you should be rooting against this team. And if I were Bob Quinn, it'd be very simple. I'd have a very frank meeting with Matthew Stafford and tell him, here's the deal. Everyone's got bangs and bruises. Everybody needs to get tuned up, cleaned up, rested up. Matt, you're done. We're shutting you down. You've taken a beating this year. It's a business decision. The amount of players who in the offseason who don't have surgery is far outweighed by those who do. So somewhere along the line, whether it's a bone chip here or a ligament there or a whatever, if I'm Quinn, I'd sit down with the guy and have a very frank meeting. You're our quarterback. We need you, but you're done for the year. I would absolutely put a lineup out there that can't win. Matt Patricia has no job security issue. Bob Quinn's not getting rid of Matt Patricia. And you're not all of a sudden going to create a winning culture here. These are meaningless games in December. Plenty of the veterans who aren't bought in on this won't be here. You got rid of Tate. TJ's probably not back. You're going to get rid of Glover Quinn. You're not going to pay Ziggy Ansah. And that's the deal. Is it wrong to ever call a game a must-lose game? I don't think it is. The opportunity to move into the top four and then set your sights on maybe getting into that top three, it's too good to pass up. If you're going to be bad, be real bad. And this team is real bad. So why not cash in on that 1 year where you're real bad? And you know the funny part is too, Sully? Everyone talks about what Stafford needs and what he should have and all this. But yet, I think everybody's pretty prepared for this team to go defense in the first and second round. So how would you be improving what Stafford has around him? What would you be doing?
Not on his side of the ball, that's for sure.
You know what I mean, though? Everybody wants to cry about the weapons around him, but then they cry that they need to use the first two picks on defense. So which is it?
Yeah, I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Well, it's funny because that's what fans are doing on the ticket text here, and it's really interesting. And I don't understand the level of anger about it, but if you really think players like Haskins, Greer, or Herbert will be better than Stafford, then you're an idiot, period. Let me ask you a question. Did you think Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were going to be better than Stafford? No, you didn't. They are. Did you think Mahomes was going to be better than Stafford? No, you didn't say that, but he is. Stafford's the Marvin Lewis of quarterbacks. Do you think Stafford will get to the Hall of Fame? Yeah, probably. 15 years, he'll have all the counting stats. He'll just have no wins. Blaming the Lions' record on Stafford is mind-numbingly stupid. I don't think so. I do not think so.
But this is exactly the conversation we had about Harbaugh and Michigan, too.
Yep.
Because people were saying, oh, well, if you want Jim Harbaugh to leave, then who? Who can come replace him? It's the or what type thing, right?
And I'm not afraid of it. Same thing here. 0% chance Haskins is a better QB than Stafford. Zero. How can you say that? Again, I'm using Carson Wentz and Goff as an example because people panned what those teams gave up to get him. Look at those two now. They're both better than Stafford.
See, what fans need to understand is no one's guaranteeing that the next quarterback you draft is going to be it. No one's guaranteeing that. But what we're coming to the realization is that Stafford isn't it. So if Stafford isn't it, then try something else. It's not going to hurt you to try something else because you already know who you have is not the guy. You cannot continue to go with the person that's not the guy, not the player, and just because, oh, I'm not sure about what's behind door B.
Right.
That's not how it works. You have to take your chance with door B because door A, you already know is awful.
But must lose game this weekend, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like, I could sell to the fan base that if you brought a Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye cornerback duo to the table next year, i.e. Slay and then Greedy Williams, you would go a long way into changing the way you play defense because I would just put Slay and Greedy on an island. And now it becomes a New England situation where you can just you could throw defensive backs on the field and just overload the coverage. But like to me, you have to lose. And I will be actively upset if they win. It's why that Carolina game still upsets me. The Lions should already be picking four with a chance to move up to number three or two. That Carolina game didn't do anything for you. Did it build a winning culture? Did it change how hard this team's playing or somehow what we think about Patricia? No, of course it didn't.
It's crazy to me that we're even here at this point right now.
I know it is.
I never thought, I laughed at it, admittedly. So I laughed at people before the season that said, hey, Lions are going to win five games this year.
I did too. I'm guilty.
Lions are going to win six games. I did not think this season was going to go like this.
We owe an apology to Gator. Gator said like 5-11, 6-10. He got it right. I got it wrong. I thought they were a 7 or 8 win team. And they are far worse than that. Let's go to Alex out in Novi. What's up, Alex?
Hey, I think I'm going to go down with the ship. I don't think it's Stafford's fault. I think it's our coaching over the last, I don't know, how many years. He's been catered to. He's been coddled. You're this, you're that. You know, yeah. No one's ever held him accountable.
Yes.
He's never had to show up at practice and go, you know what, I screwed up. I need to be better today. He was always the number one. He knows he will always be the number one. And they did him a credible disservice by doing that to him.
I agree with you.
And I think he hasn't developed as a result of that.
I can't argue a single word of it, Alex, and I've said the same on the air. That's the problem. I just don't believe this guy's a leader. I don't believe it's going to change. And unfortunately, I don't believe this organization will ever go away from him. So we're kind of in that Pistons mediocrity vortex where we're kind of just stuck.
Right. I mean, maybe we should send Martha Ford down to the locker room because no one else is going, this isn't good enough. You have to step up. You have to do something. You have to say something. No one is telling him that.
No.
So of course he's not going to do it.
No, and I think the mistake the franchise made was putting Quinn and Patricia and Stafford's contracts all lined up to run through 2022. They really believed, Alex, they were going to start a 5-year go-for-it run that would take them into Stafford's mid-30s. And year one of it has been an absolute dumpster fire.
Agreed with.
And that's very scary. I mean, it's a league. Hey, Alex, you know it. I know it. We all know it. The league's designed for you to bounce back. But as I look at it, they're not just going to have a down year. Alex, the players I listed off of Quinn, TJ, Ziggy, who am I missing? Oh, and you traded Tate. Those are four of your top 6 or 7 players, right?
Right.
They're walking out the door. So you're starting out next year less talented.
You are, but I think that's the hubris of Quinn and Patricia. Oh, well, we'll figure it out.
A Patriot way. Yeah, we'll take guys off the scrap heap. Now, Alex, it's very scary, and it is. And, I, as a radio host, I've just had too many of these Decembers, and I do. Put aside all the smarm. Put aside how I feel about that organization. You guys are my audience. Like, in that sense, we're in this together. I'm here to talk about your team. And I've had too many of these Decembers, and so have you, where we just have absolutely nothing to talk about. You know what I'd love to be talking about? The Lions being in the chase for home field advantage in the NFC, having a scoreboard watch, having showdown games against the Rams that really matter. It's unfortunately, I really do feel like the Lions are the Pistons on grass. They're just in purgatory. It's very scary. But make no mistake, they need to lose Sunday. They need to lose. And if I had the money, if I were like Sir Richard Branson, I don't know how I would do it, but I would try to offer a couple $1 million to each ref to just pay them to just what is it? Remember the Titans where the refs were going to screw Denzel's team? Hey, you're not going to win this game. Like, I literally would just be like, here, I need 30 penalties on the Lions anytime they do something positive. But I don't have that type of money, guys. And I also don't want to go to jail. So I don't think that's even legal, what I suggested. The point I'm making to you is I can't watch that game and root for them. They need to lose. 97-1.
Yes. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.